Following last week's message on the gates of Jerusalem, taken from Nehemiah chapter 3, we will be looking at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 6 today. Let us delve into these verses right away. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. And I shall read it for you. But it came to pass that when Sambalat heard that we built the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Would they revive the stones or the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn our reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious God, teach us your word, O Lord. With our lips have we declared what you have written. We have rejoiced in your words as in all riches. Help us to meditate on the book of Nehemiah and have respect unto the book. We will delight ourselves in your word more than in necessary food. So grant us an appetite for your word and lead us in your pathway of health and life. Hear this, our sincere heart's cry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A pastor was invited to dinner. During the meal, he was astonished to hear the young daughter of the house state that a person must be very brave to go to church these days. "Why do you say that?" asked the pastor. "Because," said the child, "I heard Papa tell Mama last Sunday that there was a big shot in the pulpit. The choir murdered the anthem, and the organist drowned everybody." Here's a criticism directed at the pastor himself. A little girl went up to the front of the church to listen to the pastor's children's sermon. The pastor gathered the children around himself and noticed the beautiful new dress on this little girl. The pastor complimented the girl for a pretty dress and asked if it was new. The little girl leaned toward the pastor and spoke directly into his lapel microphone, like the one I'm using right now. She said, "Yes, Pastor, this is my brand new dress. And my mummy says that it is even harder to iron this dress than to listen to one of your sermons." Oops. Christians are sometimes criticized in their work for the Lord. Receiving criticism for serving God is not easy to do, especially when we are serving sacrificially. The Jews and Nehemiah in particular faced criticism, but their desire to please God kept them on task. Nehemiah is an excellent example for leaders today. Having successfully recruited the people of Jerusalem to rebuild the city's walls, Nehemiah needed to organize the workers and the work. Chapter 3 of Nehemiah explains how he did this. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 1 to chapter 6 verse 14 describes four episodes of opposition that challenged Nehemiah's rebuilding effort. We will be looking at the first episode of opposition this afternoon, found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Roman numeral 1. Threat, ridiculing enemies. Threat, ridiculing enemies. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. When reaching his plain seat, a man was surprised to see a parrot strapped him next to him. He asked the flight attendant for coffee, whereupon the parrot squawked, "And get me a whiskey, you lazy woman." The flight attendant, flustered, brought back a whiskey for the parrot and forgot the coffee. When her omission was pointed out to her, the parrot drained its glass and bawled, "Get me another whiskey and make it snappy." Quite upset, the poor woman came back shaking with another, but still no coffee. Unaccustomed to such slackness, the man tried the parrot's approach. "I've asked you twice for coffee. Go and get me that coffee, or I'm going to throw you out of this plane." A moment later, two burly flight attendants ran back to the man and the parrot. They took hold of them and threw them out of the airplane. As the parrot and the man plummeted toward the ground, the parrot ridiculed, "What's the matter with you, mister? I've never seen such rudeness for someone from someone who can't fly." The parrot then flew away. The man was ridiculed by the parrot. Similarly, the Jews were ridiculed by their enemies. When Sanballat heard about the Jews' progress in rebuilding Jerusalem, he was enraged. You would know by now that Sanballat was the governor of Samaria. To recap, Sanballat was a Horonite, probably from Haran in Mesopotamia. Haran was the center of moon god worship. This moon god is called Sin. Sanballat was a Babylonian name meaning the god Sin has given life. As governor of Samaria, he felt threatened both politically and militarily by the prospect of a restructured Jerusalem. Sanballat expressed his rage and ridicule and mockery. Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 1 reads, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Sanballat abhorred the thought of Jerusalem regaining a place of influence near his realm. Here is a map to show where Samaria was. A Jewish influence would mean economic distress for Samaria at the top of the map. A Jewish influence would mean economic distress for Samaria, since the trade routes of the day would go back through Jerusalem instead of through his land. Anger is often rooted in jealousy, fear, or pride. Destructive criticism is normally rooted in anger. Sanballat's ridicule of Nehemiah must have sprung from his own jealousy. The word wrath in chapter 4, verse 1, carries the idea of burning. Sanballat had already accused the Jews of rebelling against Artaxerxes I, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 19. He changed his method to mock the Jews' efforts, intimating that they would never be able to finish the monumental project. Tobiah the Ammonite, and identified in history as the governor of Ammon, agreed and hurled intense personal attacks on the Jews. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 2 to 3 reads, "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones or the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." What was Tobiah's ridiculous personal attack on the Jews? He said that their craftsmanship would be so shoddy that a fox could destroy their wall. Why might personal attacks be so effective in getting us distracted from completing our tasks? We often feel like we need to respond to personal attacks. We spend time defending ourselves instead of doing the work. But the more important question is this: what sinful reactions might we have when someone becomes jealously angry at us? What sinful reactions might we have when someone becomes jealously angry at us? We might become angry at a person or seek to hurt or defame him by talking about how wrong and unfair he is being. Have we been guilty of that? Have we been guilty of that? Did Nehemiah have the same sinful reaction? This brings us to Roman numeral 2, response, prayer, and determination. Response, prayer, and determination. This is found in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 4 to 6. How did Nehemiah respond to Sanballat and Tobiah? Nehemiah responded to Sanballat and Tobiah's ridicule with godly wisdom. He immediately prayed, calling upon God's sense of justice. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 4 to 5 reads, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn our reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Nehemiah's prayer aligned with God's promises in the Abrahamic covenant. God promised to bless those who bless Abraham's descendants, but to curse those who curse them. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Of course, Nehemiah could count on God to remain faithful to his promises. Was Nehemiah's response a sign of weakness or strength? Strength. It takes a strong person to resist getting revenge on those attacking him personally. Nehemiah resisted getting revenge on those attacking him personally. Instead, Nehemiah prayed for judgment on his enemies. The Abrahamic covenant is the basis for his prayer. Moving on. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 reads, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Nehemiah met ridicule with prayer, and then led the people to work with greater determination. Obviously, his determination positively affected God's people. His example should encourage us too. Threat, ridiculing enemies, and response, prayer, and determination. The work which was so precious in the eyes of the Lord was but a theme for mockery and scorn in the minds of the enemies of God's people. Sanballat called the Jews, quote-unquote, feeble. And Tobiah said that even a fox would be able to break down the wall the Jews had built. Verses 2 to 3. In the name of the Lord, Nehemiah and his companions built steadily. At the same time, they called upon the Lord for help. Hear, O our God. Verse 4. And so they prayed and built. Thus, with the help of God, the breaches were repaired. For willing hands make light work. And the people had a mind to work. Verse 6. The people had a mind to work. The story is told that in the days of the stagecoach, a man undertook a journey. He was informed that there were first, second, and third class passengers. However, all the seats on the coach looked alike to him, so he purchased a third class ticket. All went well for a time, and the man was congratulating himself upon having saved some money. Presently, they came to the foot of a steep hill, when the driver stopped the horses and shouted, "First class passengers, keep your seats. Second class, get out and walk. Third class, get out and push behind." What we need in the Lord's work is third class passengers. Those who will push. We do not need first class passengers who are contented to sit and look on while others are working. We do not need second class passengers who walk away when real work needs to be done. What we need in the Church of Jesus Christ is third class passengers who are willing to bear the burdens of the day and who, like the Jews of old, had a mind to work. John Wesley once said, "O Lord, let us not live to be useless for Christ's sake." And the Greek proverb says, "God gives the birds their food, but he does not throw it into their nests." May God help us to do our part in the work of Heritage Baptist Church. Let us pray.